Let's pray as we start this worship, main message. Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this hour, time to give glory to you, to open up our hearts and minds, Father, so that we receive the implanted word. We thank you, Father, for the blessings from on high, for this Sabbath, and for the opportunity to come together. We ask that you bless all those that have a petition before you on the prayer list. And, Father, even those that don't know you at this time, who are seeking something greater in their lives, we know, Father, that the call is out. You've put the call out. It's up to the people to answer their call. And our job is to help them, Father, to bring them to Yahshua. So we ask, Father, that you would touch hearts and cause each one of us to hear the implanted words you prepared for us this day. We love you and thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us, for our life, health, and strength. We ask, Father, that you continually be with us and that the blood of Yahshua will cleanse each and every one of our sins. We thank you again, Father, for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength. And in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I forgot the song. We did have a song that we were supposed to sing as a group. What? No, actually, I'm going to stop it. I know, but I want everybody to praise Yahweh.
Conference recording started.
We want to.
That is me.
We're going to have a a group song. We're going to sing number 31, Shout to Yahweh. Number 31, Shout to Yahweh. I say I want to declare the wonder in my mind.
I have in you.
Conference muted.
It's processing on the recording. I can't get it. I don't think it stopped. I think we're recording. But I'm not sure. I set this one up for me and it last time for recording. Let me just restart this. Maybe it'll work. For those that are on the call, and I'm going to shut it down and restart it to see if I can get this to work. Still saying processing. I have no idea what's going on with this thing. The last time I tried to record on my phone. What?
Get a mic.
Sound recorder. And then you start recording. Okay. All right, we're going to start our message. What happened to it? It disappeared. Yes, it has started. When people tragically lose their lives because of evil or fallen nature, or of the fallen nature of this world, their families and friends have a choice of succumbing to bitterness or growing in grace. Many believers had an earthly right to hate Paul for the persecution of their family members, but they chose to forgive him. This is love, brethren. When we can overcome the negative influence of this world, remember not to measure events by your standards of justice, but leave the consequences to be tried by grace. I spoke with a lady recently about Hurricane Sandy, and she was distraught, saying that this event was too much for her to deal with. Hurricane Sandy is like a school picnic on a sunny day compared to what is to come upon this earth, brethren, in the very near future. We must seek eternal comfort from our Father in heaven as the tribulation of this earth draws near. Turn to Acts chapter 7 for our opening scripture. Acts chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 51. It says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit." This is Stephen as he is preaching to the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people. "You do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed them that showed before the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers." So what he's doing is he's telling them that they are the ones that killed Yahshua the Messiah. "You who received the law as it was ordained by angels and kept it not." The Jewish people received the oracles. They received the law from children. They were raised in the Torah. They knew the commandments. And he's telling them, he's accusing them of not keeping the commandments. "Now, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were upset. And these are the religious leaders. These are the people who knew better. They knew the law of Yahweh. Like I said, they were raised with the Torah. They knew the difference between right and wrong spiritually. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Yahweh and Yahshua standing on the right hand of Yahweh, and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Yahweh.' But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed upon him with one accord." See, they were in unity when it came to killing and destroying and persecuting those that were followers of Yahshua the Messiah. "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." That's why in the introduction here, I quoted where I said about how Paul persecuted. He persecuted the people of Yahweh. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon Yahweh and saying, 'Sovereign, receive my spirit.' And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Yahweh, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." So he was persecuted. He was killed by the people who were supposed to be followers of the Messiah, people who were of that family. We're going to continue on in chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It says, "And Saul..." Or Paul was consenting to his death. He agreed with it. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the assembly which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles." Everybody else was fleeing except the apostles. And devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul laid waste the assembly, entering into every house and dragging men and women, and committed them to prison. So the persecution was great, and Saul was one of the leaders of that persecution. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. Now we entreat you, brethren, touching the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, and our gathering together to him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as that the day of Yahweh is just at hand. Now what Paul is telling us is that this persecution is coming very soon, brother. We need to prepare ourselves. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for except the falling away come first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He that opposes and exalts himself against all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of Elohim, setting himself forth as Elohim. So what Paul is telling us, until this happens, you know, you don't need to fear, don't need to get worried. The great falling away must come first. And then the man of perdition, the Antichrist, is going to set himself up in the temple to be worshipped as a mighty one. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know that which restrains to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. For the mystery of lawlessness already works, only there is one that restrains now until he be taken out of the way, and then shall be revealed the lawless, whom the sovereign Yahshua shall consume with the breath of his mouth and annihilate by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. The love of the truth, brother. The love for one another. The love for our enemies. The love for our neighbor. And see, it's very difficult for people to understand. And the reason they can't understand it is what I was talking about here, about succumbing to the bitterness or growing in grace. It's easy to hate. You understand? It's much harder to love someone that has done something to you that has been very negative, that's tried to take your life or took the life of one of your loved ones. That's why it was very difficult for them to accept Paul. Paul went 180 degrees. He was on that Damascus Road with orders from the leaders of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem to go and capture and destroy those who were following Yahshua. But Yahshua blinded him and then gave him his sight. He let him see, because Paul was a Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew it, just like the leaders. But see, knowing it, you know, is one thing. Doing it is something else. See? There are a lot of people who know the letter of the law, but they're not living by the spirit of it. The man of sin is going to be revealed soon. The tribulation, the day of Yahweh, this is what he's talking about. It's coming soon, brethren. We have to prepare our lives right now. And how do we prepare? We prepare through the love of Yahshua the Messiah. That's what's going to overcome. It says in verse 10, all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They don't have that love of Yahshua. They might speak it and say that they love one another, but they're not actually performing it. See? And for this cause, Yahweh sends them a working of error that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's where the difference is. If we love Yahweh, we're not going to have pleasure in unrighteousness. We're going to be doing that which is right at all times. But we are bound to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brethren, beloved of the Master, for that Elohim chose you from the beginning to salvation and sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, to which he called you through our good tidings, to obtain the glory of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by a letter of ours. Now, our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah himself, and Yahweh our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. That's the title of this message, Eternal Comfort, because this is what we're looking for. We need that eternal comfort to get us through what we're about to go through, brother. There's going to be a separation. Yahweh always has a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and unclean. There's a great separation. Turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 to 39. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel means my El is judge, my mighty one is judge. And Yahweh is the true judge. He's going to allow Yahshua to judge this earth and everything in it. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every El, and shall speak marvelous things against the El of Elohim. And he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the Elohim of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any Eloah, any mighty one. For he shall magnify himself above all. And he's talking about the man of perdition, the man of Messiah. But in his place shall he honor the Eloah of fortresses, and Eloah whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. And he shall deal with the strongest fortresses by the help of a foreign Eloah. However, whoever acknowledge him, he will increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for a price. He's talking about the beast system. The beast system is going to be set up. And we, who are of Yahweh, Yahshua's children, will not be able to participate in that system. We're going to be outside the system. But if we trust in Yahweh, we're going to be provided for. We don't have to worry about it. That's why the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah means hidden of Yahweh. Yahweh's going to hide his people during this time, okay? The Christians believe they're going to be raptured away before the tribulation happens. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, 29. It says, says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send forth his angels with the sound of the great trumpet. That great trumpet. Now we know that Yom Teruah is trumpets. It's the first day of the seventh month. It's a new moon day. But it's trumpets. And that corresponds in the future with the great trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He's not collecting his people until after the tribulation. Not before. Back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12, 1. And at that time shall Michael, who is like Michael, stand up, the great prince who stands over the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that are wise shall shine as brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. It says, and they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's our purpose, brethren. We're supposed to be leading these people. We're supposed to be turning to Yahshua. It says, the effectiveness of our ministry is measured by the number of people we bring to the Messiah. And in verse 4 of Daniel 12, it says, but you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, these books that have been shut up are being opened. The knowledge has been increased. We know more. We can understand more than the people back 2,000 years ago. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Master, Yahshua the Messiah, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but we rejoice in our tribulations, brethren, because we know that they're coming, just like Israel did in Egypt. They were in Egyptian bondage for 430 years. But guess what? Yahweh released them, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance approval, and approval hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of Yahweh has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. That Holy Spirit is given to those that believe, those that have been baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. Those that are out there in the world do not have Yahweh's Holy Spirit. I don't care what they tell you. Okay? I've heard a lot of Christians proclaim they have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, but they're constantly still violating his covenant. And you cannot do that. You can't have the Holy Spirit and violate his covenant on a regular basis. It's just not so. For while we were yet weak, in due season the Messiah died for the lawless. He died for each and every one of us, brethren. He died for our sins. He didn't sin. He was sin free. He died for us, each and every one of us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For possibility, for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But Yahweh commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of Elohim through him. We're going to be saved through Yahshua the Messiah because of his shed blood, brethren. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. That's important for us to understand, brethren. Because if we don't accept that shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah, we won't have that cleansing. We won't have the victory over Satan the devil. Because when he is going to deceive the whole world, as it says in Revelation chapter 12, he has deceived the whole world. It's very few people on this planet that know Yahshua the Messiah. Very few. And not only so, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We've been reconciled to Yahweh through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, those of us that have received that gift of the Holy Spirit, because we've been baptized in Yahshua's name. Okay? That's the prerequisite. That's something that has to happen for you to be a part of that family, for you to be a part, protected. Okay? When this tribulation comes down the line, you want to be in with the right group. Okay? Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, we'll start in verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels that had seven bowls and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot that sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and they that dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold, and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. And upon her forehead the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. And the angel said to me, why did you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, they whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the earth. There's two groups, those that names have been written and those that have not. When they behold the beast, how it was and is not and shall come, here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, and five are fallen. The one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a little while. And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is of the seven, and he goes into perdition. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings, who have received no kingdom as yet. But they receive authority as king with the beast for 1 hour And these have one mind that they give their power and authority to the beast. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is sovereign of rulers and king of kings. And they shall also overcome that are with him, called the chosen and the faithful. And we're talking about the followers of Yahshua, the chosen and the faithful. And he says to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these shall hate the harlot and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. For Yahweh did put in their hearts to do his mind. Yahweh put in their hearts to do his mind, which was destroy the beast. And to come to one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of Yahweh should be accomplished. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Yahweh has promised eternal comfort for those that have chosen Yahshua, that have overcome this world. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Now, there are quite a few things that are going to happen before and during that 3.5-year tribulation, and even right after. You have the seven seals, you have the woes, and you have the bowls. Okay? We're going to look at some of those today. Later, probably during the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're going to do a Bible study and get into them intensely and look at them individually. Because we need to understand, see, one of the things that happens in we know some things that the rest of the world doesn't know because we're keeping the feast day. Every feast day represents something spiritually. Okay? Like I said, trumpets is representing the great and final trumpet. Right? Tabernacles, Sukkoth, represent being with Yahweh for that thousand-year millennium. And then the eighth grade, the last great day, represents eternity. But each of the other feast days, and there are other days like the ninth of Av, Tish B'Av, which I talked about, that happens. On Tish B'Av, so many things have befallen the Jewish people that it's not coincidence. This is Yahweh speaking to us, telling us we need to get our lives in order. Okay? Now, Tish B'Av is a fast day. It's the ninth of Av. The first and the second temple were destroyed on that same day. Many other catastrophes have happened to the Jewish people in Tish B'Av. So many that it's not coincidence. This is Yahweh trying to communicate to let us know what's going on. See, we have to pay attention, brother. We have to give our lives to Yahweh to the extent that he is the one that's guiding and leading us to our eternal comfort. Because if we're going to be a part of eternity, Yahweh is the only one that can give eternal life. His name means I am eternal. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, closed sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a great voice, 'Who's worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals of it?' And no one in the heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look on it. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look on it. And one of the elders says to me, 'Weep not. Behold, the lion is of the tribe of Yehuda, of Judah, the root of David, has overcome to open the book and the seven seals of it.' And I saw in the middle of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as though it had been killed, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he takes it out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and open the seals of it. For you were killed and did purchase to Yahweh with your blood of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to be to our Elohim a kingdom of priests, and they reign upon the earth." Now, who is this speaking of? The kingdom of priests and they that reign upon the earth is speaking of the 144,000, brethren. See? In verse 11, "And I saw and I heard a voice of many angels all around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that has been killed to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And every created thing which is in the heaven and the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things that are in them, I heard saying, 'To him that sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and the honor and the glory and dominion to the ages of ages.'" Yahshua deserves the praise. He's the one that can open the seven seals. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. 24. Genesis 32, 24. The name Jacob, Yaakov, he was one of the progenitors of Yahweh's people, the grandson of Abraham. And his name was changed to Israel. And that's important for us to understand, because the name Israel means those who rule with El, to strive with El. Verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained, and he wrestled with as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' And he says, 'I will not let you go except you bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' 'Yaakov.' And he said, 'Your name shall be called no more Yaakov or Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with Elohim and with men and have prevailed.'" We are striving with men as well. And we are taking on that same name of Israel, brethren, because we want to rule with El as well. We want to overcome this earth. We want to receive that eternal comfort that is promised to those who overcome this life. Turn to Hosea chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 to 6. It says, "Ephraim feeds on wind and follows after the east wind. He continually multiplies lies and desolation. And they make a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried into Egypt." Excuse me. "Yahweh has also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings. With will he recompense him? In the womb he took his brother by the heel. He was a supplanter, and in manhood he had power with Elohim. He wrestled with the angel and overcame. Not many men could say that. Not many men could do that. Yes, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication to him. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with us. Even Yahweh, the Elohim of hosts, Yahweh is his memorial name. Therefore, you turn to your Elohim, keep kindness and justice, and wait for your Elohim continually. There's a purpose for what we have to do, brethren. And that purpose, being patient, waiting on Yahweh, because he's the one that's going to give us the victory as we continually do that which is right in his sight. The people of this world have not prevailed. Yes, he had power over the angel and prevailed. Turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. From where shall my help come? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is your keeper. Yahweh is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Yahweh will keep you going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. When Israel came out of Egypt, Yahshua was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He protected Israel. Yet they, what? Complained. That's why they ended up 40 years in the wilderness. They would not accept the blessings, the good land that Yahweh promised them. They sent the spies in, and 10 out of the 12 spies came back with an evil report. Therefore, they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years. Even though two, Joshua and Caleb, came with a good report. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians 3:1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of Yahweh may be glorified, even as also it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all have not the faith. And there were a lot of evil men among Israel. We know 250 princes that tried to take over, said, Moses, you and Aaron take too much upon yourselves. But what happened? Yahweh showed them who was the humble and meekest, and that was Moses. And he destroyed Korah and the rest, Dathan and Abiram, the rest of the 250 princes were gobbled up by the earth. For all have not faith. But Yahweh is faithful, who established you and guards you from the evil one. He protects us, brethren. See? This is why we have to have Yahshua in our lives. He protects us from the evil one. He tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee far from us. And we have confidence in Yahweh touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command. And the Master direct your hearts into the love of Yahweh and into the patience of the Messiah. And we must trust Yahweh and his patience. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, the first seal. I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come and see. And I saw, behold, a white horse. This is the Antimessiah. And he that sat on it had a bow. And there was given to him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat on it was given to take peace from the earth. that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, and come and see. And I saw, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat on it had a balance in his hand, and I heard, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius, and three measures of barley for a denarius. And do not hurt the oil and the wine. Famine. You had the Amaziah come on the white horse. War is the red horse. The black horse is famine. Then you have the pale horse, the fourth seal. And when he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see, and I saw, and behold, a pale horse. And he that sat upon him, his name was Death. And the grave followed with him. And there was given to them authority over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with famine, and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth. A lot of people are going to perish. See? Like I said, Hurricane Sandy was nothing but a picnic compared to what's coming upon this earth. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been killed for the word of Yahweh and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a great voice, saying, how long, O Yahweh, the holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And there was given to each one of them a white robe. It was said to them that they should rest yet a little time until their fellow servants also, their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course. And I saw, and he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she is shaken of great wind. And the heaven was removed as a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the princes and the chief captains and the rich and the strong and every bondman and freeman hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And that question is important for us. Who is able to stand? The only ones that are able to stand are those that have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, by Yahshua the Messiah. Things are going to get real dicey in the near future. See? Because that was just a seventh seal being pulled back. Then you have the seven trumpets. But we didn't get to the seventh seal. Chapter 8, Revelation 8:1 is the last, the seventh seal. And when he opened the seventh seal, and there followed a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour, and I saw seven angels that stand before Yahweh, and there was given to them seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood over the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense that he should add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before Yahweh out of the angel's hand. And that's why we have to continue to pray, brethren. We have to continue to pray because we know that prayer changes things. And Yahweh is looking out for his people. And he's going to give them eternal comfort because they have chosen Yahshua as their Lamb. In verse 5, and the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it upon the earth. And there followed thunders and voices and lightnings and earthquakes. And the seven angels that had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the earth was burnt up. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood, and there dried up a third part of the creatures which were in the sea, even they that had life, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And that mountain that is talking about going into the sea, think of a great meteorite hitting the earth, falling into the sea, causing this to happen. We have a couple meteorites that are headed toward this earth, okay? One of them hitting the earth can fulfill this passage. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell from heaven a great star, burning as a torch, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. This is also predicted. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. That's why I was telling you earlier in this message, don't become bitter if something happens to someone that's close to you, that you love. The bitterness can turn into anger, and anger to hate. And we have to learn to love, brethren. That love is the only thing that's going to help us overcome to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was struck, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and the third part of them should be darkened, and the day should not shine for the third part of it, for the night in the same manner. So the day is going to be shortened. And I saw and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven, saying with a great voice, woe, 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 for them that dwell on the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets and the three angels who are yet to sound. In chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fall into the earth, and there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only such men that have not the seal of Yahweh on their foreheads. See, there's going to be a separation between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean, between Yahweh's servants that have the seal of Yahweh and those that have the mark of the beast. There's going to be a difference. And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man, and in those days men shall seek death and shall in no way find it. And they shall desire to die, and death flees from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like the horses prepared for war, and upon their heads as it were crowns like gold, and their faces as with men's faces. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as were the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and many horses rushing to war. And you've seen some of these helicopters painted up to look like animals with the great teeth, and you know, and they have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails they have the power to hurt men 5 months. They have over them as king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, Abaddon. And in the Greek language, his name, he has the name Apollyon. This is the first woe is past. Behold, there are yet two woes after this. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the horns of the golden altar, which is before Yahweh, and one saying to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed that had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year, that they should kill the third part of men. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was twice 10,000 times 10,000. And I heard the number of them. That's 200 million men. There's only one army in the world that has that ability, and that's the Chinese. But they're going to be aligned with the Japanese, the kings of the East. They're going to come across the Euphrates on dry ground heading for Armageddon. They're coming to Israel. And thus I saw the horses in a vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses are as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three plagues was the third part of men killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouth and in their tails. And their tails are like serpents. They have heads, and with them they hurt. And the rest of mankind who were not killed with these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. See? They repented not. And the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stones and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they repented not of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Our time is short, brethren. I can't get into all that I'd like to get into, because there's a lot more I'd like to say on this subject. But I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's 1 Thessalonians 4. Because I want you to understand that Yahweh is going to give us eternal comfort. And that eternal comfort is going to come by us knowing who our Savior is. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope." See, those people have no hope because they don't have Yahshua as their Savior. That's why it's important that we make that calling and election sure. We choose Yahshua. Receive the baptism so that we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so them also that have fallen asleep in Yahshua will Elohim bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of Yahweh, that we that are alive, that are left to the coming of Yahshua, shall in no wise precede them that have fallen asleep. For Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trumpet, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, that great trumpet. And the dead in the Messiah shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yahshua. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what we want to do today, brethren. We want to be comforted with the words of Almighty Yahweh. Your beliefs don't make you a better person. Your behavior does. The effectiveness of our ministry is measured by the number of people we bring to the Messiah. Why? What does it mean to be holy? Holiness is being set apart for a special purpose. Almighty Yahweh has set apart a group of people for his own purpose. We must make sure we are living a life worthy of being a part of that group. You can't be born into it. You must choose to be a part of it. By your actions, by responding to the call of the Holy One, he calls them Israel, as the name was given to Jacob, who wrestled with the angel. He overcame We have to be overcomers too, so that we can receive the eternal comfort that Almighty Yahweh has promised to those that seek Him. At this time, I'd like to close with a word of prayer, if you all stand. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name. As we look through your word, Father, we know that such tribulation is coming upon this earth. We ask that you would prepare people, that you would keep Israel safe, hidden of Yahweh, Father, as it says in Zephaniah. And as we are prepared for this time that is soon coming upon this earth, Father, which we know is going to be worse than anything that has been known to man, we ask that you would comfort us with your eternal comfort. We ask that you would give us more of your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would provide for us during this very, very terrible time when we're not able to buy or sell. But, Father, we know that you're going to watch over your people, that you're going to bless your people because we are seeking to do your will and do that which is right in your sight, to be a part of your kingdom which is soon coming upon this earth. Forgive us our sins, Father. Cleanse each one of our sins through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We ask that those that don't have your Spirit would turn to you and be baptized, Father, to receive it, so that they would be a part of Israel these last days. We thank you, Father, for the comfort that you've given each and every one of us. Prepare us and help us, Father, to do your will and to reach out to those who are seeking your kingdom so that they would hear this message and that we would bring them to Yahshua. In Yahshua's holy name we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. If you take your songbooks in hand, our closing song is going to be number 33, Holy Love.
I will not fear, God's love is here to comfort me. Any sorrows cannot quench your light. Darkness cannot overwhelm me. I will not fear. God's love is here to comfort me. To comfort me. Holy love, go with me. Fill me up like the deepest sea, like a crashing wave. Pouring over me, only love, Lord, in me. When I find you, I find you. When I find you, I find peace. And I know that there's no river so wide, no mountain so high, no ocean so deep that you can't part the sea. Holy love, knowing me, fill me up like the deepest sea. Like a crashing wave, falling over me. Holy love, flow in me. Holy love, flow.
This time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey to lead us in our benediction.
Let us all take our songs and select your scripture and turn to page 142. Page 142, we'll be reading 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. And it reads, now may our El and Father himself and our Master Yahshua direct our ways to you. And Yahweh make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, towards all men, even as we also do towards you, to the end he may establish your heart without blame and holiness before our El and Father at the coming of our Master Yahshua with all his saints.
Thank you.
Oh, I did. I do. A lot of them don't have the old songbooks with Rocky G. C. When you say old, you talk about Rocky. Yesterday was Gail's birthday. She's a lady that worships with her there in New Orleans, one of her neighbors. Shalom and good Sabbath to all, and happy birthday, Gail, Marie, and Brenda.
Hi, it's Alani.
Hi, Miss Brenda.
Hi, Miss Brenda. Hi, Yessie.
She said, Wednesday night, New Moon, it's exciting. There will be no ladies' meeting. Come on.
I'm going to send out because they told me I'm going to hold the over. And she sent the email to hold over, so I just